Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a game day podcast from TalkSport, the record book.
Hello and welcome once again to a podcast that has got a different name. Now, my two guests may not have noticed the change in the name, and it was just called the Record Book Podcast. Now it's called Danny Kelly's Record Book Podcast.
Oh, available, of course. I don't want to be part of this anymore.
Through the Game Day Network. Now, that could mean one of two things. Either that my contributions have been so stellar, so fantastic, so unchallengeably brilliant that they've had to change the name, or it could be going very badly, the podcast, and they need someone to blame. Either way, my name is now on the marquee, so welcome to Danny Kelly's Record Book Podcast, which would be nothing without the little people who turn up every week. Not you, the listeners. You're the big people. The little people who turn up every week. I can't even see them these days, which is a damn shame, because I'm still doing this remotely. But actually, this week, after last week's extraordinary version of the podcast, we've had decided we'd go right to the top of the tree, no expense expended, bringing back the actual A-team among our regular guests. So it's a big welcome back after 3 months. I'm delighted to say performer and football pundit and comedian and all the other things that Mark Smith is. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Danny. Hello. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, no, we cried when we couldn't afford you, and now we've just got a few bob left to eke out the company to get you on for the last few shows of the season. Mark Webster is the person you can hear bellowing with laughter next
time. I guffawed at the
no
wrong moment.
No introduction necessary. Broadcasting legend around the place, music, football, all the things that matter. He is the man in the know, and a big welcome to you as well, Mark.
Cheers, Dan.
Side is Tierney into the area. Saka with a volley. Lovely turn. What a great finish that is.
It's Greenwood getting it back. Right-hand side of the area. Tries to drive on. Another sensational goal from Mason Greenwood. This time on his right foot. Drifted away from Diego Rico and smacked a right-footed effort right into the postage stamp.
Here's Berger from the free kick. Gets it towards Bourne, 25 yards out. Puts the crossing, flicked on by Sharp. Chance at the far post, and it's smashed in. And John Egan on the half volley has rifled the ball into the top corner.
Mark Smith, because you sound to me like you've had the least fun in the lockdown, why don't you start to get yourself up and running again? Who's your hero of the week?
Well, this makes up for all of those long days looking after an infant. my hero of the week, it's actually heroes. It's young English attacking talent.
Oh, true.
I think it's been a fantastic week for a number of young lads. I say our there, Danny, and I appreciate that you're more of an island guy.
No. Don't forget, I have both things going on. I want England and the Republic to do well because of my upbringing and my background. So, no, don't worry about that. Let's call
so
them
I can still
our
say
players
we,
for now.
Yeah, fine. Well, we look in pretty good shape, I think. I'm looking at particularly Mason Greenwood at United. I think Phil Foden was outstanding against Liverpool last week. Mason Mount was man of the match yesterday, Chelsea-Watford. I can't remember a time.
Bukayo Saka at Arsenal.
I was going to get onto him. Don't you worry about that. But I can't remember a time when we've had so much strength in depth in attacking areas for England, particularly wide. I mean, I remember when we had years and years searching for a left winger, when we'd stick Paul Scholes out on the left wing and just hope for the best. And now we've got all sorts of quality in that position.
Rooney haunted that space for much too long, didn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm looking at it now, and I'm looking at not just players that were fantastic this weekend, but more generally England's strength and depth in those wide areas and attacking areas. And on the left, I'm thinking, you know, you've got Raheem Sterling, you've got Marcus Rashford, still very young, those guys. You've got Jack Grealish coming through. On the right, you've got Jadon Sancho, you've got Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah.
The options are absolutely incredible. Phil Foden coming through, if he's able to step into David Silva's shoes next season, we could have an absolute world-class player on our hands in number 10 as well. I mean, it's so exciting. It's been a great
weekend
for those.
Absolutely. And it looks, Mark, though, England might have gained a huge advantage by the pandemic causing the European Championship to be cancelled, because in the upcoming year, we will see, as you mentioned there, Phil Foden, Bukayo Saka, Mason Greenwood, all of whom would probably have not gone this summer, will definitely go next summer.
Good point,
and there's a whole load more. The problem is, Mark Webster, is that that's all very well. And, of course, the game's all about attacking these days. We know that. But while the England defence consists of Harry Maguire, revealed in the last few games to have no pace particularly, and A.N. Other. I mean, they've got to find someone to play at the back, haven't they?
I've got
Gomez, surely.
Well, Gomez is good. I've got a problem with the triangle, i.e. the keeper and the two centre-halves.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, there's eight other bodies, and we've got decent keepers and decent centre halves.
So we're not going to have to defend Mark. It's going to be
it's
all
irrelevant.
Attacking.
It's irrelevant. It's neither here nor there.
Each game, I'm happy with that. You're right about Saka. I didn't mention him particularly because I don't see him as an attacker. He's a player who seems to be able to play any position on the pitch at all.
Brilliant.
He's played four or five positions in the last two.
And
weeks.
I will mention Arsenal later. But this is back to your point, Dan, isn't it? Is that what we've ended up with is this kind of obviously sort of protracted, bizarrely shaped period of time in which all the footballers that Mark's talking about are going to get extra game time in situations which can only help their careers.
Yeah.
Give it a year, give it 12 months. Can you imagine?
We might be weak in goal, we might be weak at centre-back, but we've got about five world-class right-backs and about 15 wingers, so I think our formation might be interesting.
Gareth Southgate, who perhaps used up all his bad luck with that penalty miss, I'm sure he's doing a great job as coach and manager and mentor and motivator. Boy, he's a lucky sod. All these England players suddenly pouring out of the academies straight into the national team. That's a very good call. Now, one of the people who I don't think will be going with the England team to the European Championship is your choice for Hero of the Week, Mark Webster.
Somewhat selfish. And you're right, he's 30 years old now, and it's Mikel Antonio. And if you're looking around for people who've kind of stepped up and done the job that's been required of them in the situation after we've come back to football, then Mikel Antonio's basically done that in his career at West Ham anyway. Unfavoured, I think, is easy to say by Pellegrini, who just saw there not a cultured enough footballer for his own taking. Stuck him at right back a lot. It was horrible. He's had 5 years at West Ham. He had a big season out after the time he got Hammer of the Year. But he's come back, two goals, two games, 4 points for West Ham in that period. And we all know, we've all had them in our football teams, that is the catalyst, the talismanic figure, the person who kind of seems to be the touchstone that makes things right for your team. And he hasn't got to be your best player.
No.
But he's got to be the guy that kind of seems to rally everybody. Yeah. And that's Antonio,
doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he does. And he's played centre forward. He's run his socks off. He did an hilarious post-match interview when West Ham beat Chelsea in midweek because he's basically unreconstructed and says things because he likes saying them rather than he's saying what he should be saying.
I mean, I've got
media
to pick a spot for him, Mark, because due to my work in TalkSport, I've become privileged enough to be able to call a former England legend and mate, and that's Stuart Pearce. And Stuart, doesn't have to be in the pub. Anywhere that you start to mention about his career as a coach and a manager, I think it makes him most proud. And that includes his, you know, various triumphs as England under 21 manager. What he's most proud of is grabbing Mikel Antonio out of non-league football. I think Stuart's particularly proud of it because he, of course, followed a very similar path.
Yeah, good point.
Mikel came out of Tooting and Mitcham, I think.
That's right.
And Wheelstone in the case of Stuart Pearce. And he bursts with pride when he sees this fella making a career for himself at the very top of English football. Well, and you're right to say he's a proper talisman. And I have to say, Mark, if you'll excuse a Spurs fan saying this, Compared to some of West Ham's forward players in the past few years, his work rate compared to some of his teammates is extraordinary.
He does. And that's exactly the point, Danny. He drags you. He's that fella that you can say, well, come on, keep up. And there is an element of that you see around him. It's infectious, isn't it, when you've got a footballer like that. And he's playing out of position. But, you know, and you'd rather see him kind of perhaps doing his job from somewhere else. I certainly would. But, you know, needs must. And that's the other great thing about him is that he just does the jobs he's asked to do. Yeah.
When he was at Forest, I saw a lot of him when he was at Forest, obviously being a Derby County supporter. And he was always really hyped up from friends of mine who watched him a lot. And I remember seeing him and thinking, well, yeah, you know, he's a good runner when he gets stuck in and he is physical and all this. But actually, there's more to him than that.
Definitely.
His positional play is excellent in whatever position he's playing in. His hold-up play is really good. He's very powerful. He's got a very good football brain on him. He knows when to bring people in, how to bring people in. And I think he's exactly what you want. He reminds me of the Alex Ferguson players who used to be squad players who would play 15, 20 games a season. But they're there because they can fill any position. And every job they do is to an excellent level.
Yeah. And he cost nothing. He was £7 million a few, you know, just whatever
it was.
That's
peanuts now.
About 4 or 5 years ago. So, he got himself in the England squad, certainly as well. So, and it's back to your point, Dan. It is that idea of a fella who's dragged himself up by his bootstraps and came through.
Yeah,
as you say, grassroots football, and because he played a lot of football at that level on loan and stuff like that, even though he got bought. So he's come relatively late to the game, as indeed other superstars over the last few days have. And
that's two brilliant nominations for Hero of the Week: the young England players and Mikel Antonio. I want to add a third one that I think is equally worthy of mention and our highest hats raised into the air, and that is a player who I don't suppose he's been nominated before for the Hero of the Week, and that is the Sheffield United and Republic of Ireland defender John Egan.
Yeah.
John Egan scored the equaliser for Sheffield United against Burnley.
Rattled it, didn't he?
Absolutely rattled it into the net, which means that Egan has now scored. Let me get the exact details. But this is a defender, by the way. He has scored in all four of the divisions of English professional football. He scored a single goal in League Two. He scored 10 goals in League One, 7 in the Championship. And that goal that he got this weekend was his first in the Premier League. Now, there are not many players, because of the way the game is constructed these days, who will play in all four divisions, never mind score in all four divisions. And for a defender to do it tells you that this fella has an attitude and a will to play the game and to play it well. That's unmatched. Really, really brilliant for John Egan. I'm thrilled for him, actually. And, you know, he's 27 years of age. Another one that we took, you know, in the weekend when Jamie Vardy, a further player who's come from the lower reaches of the pyramid, Halifax Town, I think he started out in, for John Egan to have done what he's done, brings a little tear to my eye, because I love the football pyramid and I love those players who travel up it. These days, nobody goes down it like in the old days. We discussed this before, Mark Webster, where you'd see a 35-year-old ex-England international trolling around in a centre circle in League Two.
That just spreading it around a little bit.
That's right. It doesn't happen anymore. So there is, I think, a lovely, a heartwarming list of heroes of the week. Mikel Antonio, John Egan, and the English youngsters. Mark Webster, I'll let you have the first go. Who are you sticking with, or who are you now changing to?
Dan, you and I have kind of gone for that kind of like that, you know, that grassroots part of it, that idea of just coming up and dragging yourself up by your bootstraps. But I'm excited about the England youngsters. I've got to be honest with you. I think that I am. I'm doing it to myself again. I think England have got something, and there's a golden generation around the corner.
I was about to say, have we been here before in the household, Webster? I think we have.
Yes.
All right. I dare say then, Mark Smith, you might, since we're not competitive, we're just trying to shoot the breeze here. You're going to stick with the England youngsters?
I am, yes. Same as Mark, really. I mean, I'm excited that football is back and the restart is gone very smoothly for everybody, but I'm most excited about seeing these young, hungry, English, talented players perform well in one of the best divisions in the world. I can't get over my excitement, Danny. And I agree with Mark. Something's going to happen for us. In the next 5 or 6 years, England will win something major.
And I've got to be honest, Dan, I'm a little bit above by your choice of Egan, because he only got one go in the second division. That's just slacking off. I mean, what was he up to?
He was a young man. He was just coming through then.
No excuses, sorry.
The England youngsters win, and I still maintain that I temper my own enthusiasm for the project with because I come from an era when defending still meant something, and I have a suspicion that Declan Rice is going to be very busy over the next few years, playing both in midfield and at the back for England at the same time.
VAR, by the way, is checking the Harry Kane goal. Now we're having a look here to see whether that is going to be disallowed there for... I'm looking to handball, possibly.
I think we're living in such peculiar times that I think both the Premiership and the Football League may have to revise short-term its insolvency rules if a number of clubs start going over.
Let's call it a tactical break. And if anyone says that is just a drinks break, we all know that is not... That is not true. It's a tactical break.
What about our villain of the week? I think I know, I have got pre-knowledge, they say, in... I've had pre-sight, as they say, in Parliament, of your two choices. I'll go first in this round because I don't expect this to win because it's technical and it's nasty. But I really, really have got to say my villain of the week could not be anyone else except the owners of Wigan Athletic.
Oh, dear.
Now,
dear.
We all know that the pandemic means that... lots of clubs will be struggling to pay the wages, to keep the club going and all the rest of it. We equally know that the EFL has its fair share of clubs who are financially, and I'm just looking up the correct term, Simon Jordan gave it to me, knackered. and we all know that there seems to be a problem with those clubs in the Northwest, traditional hotbed of English football, who live in the shadow of the giant Northwestern clubs. We've seen Bolton struggle. We've seen Bury go to the wall, and now it's the turn of Wigan. But this is not about the endemic problems in English football, the systemic issues in English football, though they haven't helped. This is about the owners, people from China, reputed by via the newspapers in the last few days to be mostly gamblers to have amassed their fortunes. But the Simon again explained to me the ins and outs of this. The original deal they did would have made it very difficult for them to put the club into administration because they had commitments to the club. But the club has now been sold by the new owners to even new owners. But the new owners are the same people as the even newer owners. It's like if you set up Mark Webster Limited and Mark Webster PLC and sold one to the other. And it is in the sale that the conditions of ownership changed and they were able to take this club, not so very long ago, of course, FA Cup winners, and sling them onto the scrap heap of administration, all that goes with that. And already we've seen the vultures starting to circle. Tottenham, I know, are interested in two of Wigan's youngsters. And I'll put this to you, Mark Smith, because your club is in the Championship, maybe not by much longer, Derby County.
They'll be safe.
The fit and proper persons test for clubs, particularly in the Championship, which is the division that's blighted with terrible finance, it's not worth the paper it's written on.
No, and it's terrifying, if I'm being completely honest with you. I mean, we've got a chairman in Mel Morris at Derby who, you know... he's been quite creative, let's say, with his accounting and with his practices there. But I think as a baseline with him, we all assume and we all hope and I think we all believe that as a Derby guy, as a Derby County supporter, he has always got the club's best interests at heart. Now, with Wigan and with any number of Championship and League One, League Two clubs, when you don't have that personal connection...
That affinity's not there, is it?
Yeah, the affinity's gone. And why would a multinational conglomerate from China or India or wherever, why would they care? And that's the problem. So while we've got Mel Morris at Derby, I feel quite confident that we might be okay. But the next owner, we don't know who that is. We don't know who's behind the next owner because, as you know, a lot of these times when a club is bought, it's it's a group of people, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just
faceless.
You don't know who actually is running things. So this
it's one of the very few places in the world now where the world. I know football has certain words that are only used in football. Adjudged, obviously. Remonstrate, obviously. But also, the word consortium very rarely comes up now, except it's a bunch of largely anonymous people fronted by a former midfielder who are looking to buy a football club.
Yeah.
This is the consortium. Oh, yeah.
Is consortium. That, is that or a consortium of people who are buying a banner to fly over a stadium? That's yeah. That's just smaller consortium, but they yes. certainly are popular nowadays, yeah.
Yes, I've got another word for those people, actually, Mark. But the...
Starts with the same letter.
My own respect for my own career means I will not utter it in a public place. So that's my rant off my chest. And of course, there are solutions. There should be a proper fit and proper person's test. And there should also be a system whereby if you buy a football club, you have to put a certain amount of money into escrow. You get it back when you sell the club in 5 years' time. But if you just mess around like this, then you lose that significant chunk
of
change.
Well, the EFL as well, by the way, the EFL have a lot to be blamed on here. They are a pretty slippery organisation, and I think they've got a lot of history with this sort of thing. So, you know, their hands aren't clean on this either.
I've got a lot of confidence in Rick Parry, who came obviously from Liverpool and the Premier League as well, in turning it around. He's not been in there long, and I suspect that Wigan may be one of the many basket cases that he's referred to when he came into the job, says we've still got a lot of bad apples to get out of the barrel. It's going to be an interesting
Hang
one.
Hang on, it's barrels, he's got baskets.
Barrels, listen, I respect you. You're in a rural setting. I'm trying to work with you and what's around you to help
identify. He's got a whole handcart of problems,
symbols,
hasn't he, that
exactly.
man?
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
a tumbrel.
As long as we can go to hell on that particular handcart. This is the same season, if you go down the divisions, that Macclesfield, for several months in a row, failed to do what they were meant to do. And then ultimately, when it came to relegating the last club out of the Football League into the National League, were deducted 1 point less than they needed to go down. Now, my guess was that was somewhat tactical. And I say this with zero knowledge of the kind of actual finances and the technical side of this, is I can't make my head work with the fact that there's what we've talked about here, these kind of anonymous faces Wigan owners and Wigan, the actual entity that is a football club,
but listen,
being
listen,
punished by 12 points and relegation.
Absolutely. But we say anonymous owners. Don't forget, this is Wigan Athletic. AC Milan was until recently owned by another person in China who, when the Sunday Times did the investigation, they found that he, she or it was in fact an unmanned telephone in a hired office in Beijing. So, you know, every club in the world is open to this kind of treatment. We have got to press on. So Wigan's owners are one choice of villain of the week. Mark Webster, give me 2 minutes on your choice for villain of the week.
Well, happy birthday, belated, because we couldn't celebrate on June the 1st, the offensive handball rule.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, it's just over a year old. IFAB brought it in then, and of course it's been, everyone's enjoyed it ever since. The stupidest rule ever introduced into football, because offside has come, offside has gone, blah, 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 this, that and the other. Splitting handball into offensive and defensive is a joke. And just to quote David Ellery from a year ago, who seemed very pleased with his involvement in this, and there's a very complex description of how it works. It's all about the offensive handball. If it gets a clear, unfair advantage by gaining possession or control. Danny Kelly, I refer you to Lucas Moura in the week.
Look,
this is why I mentioned it. I mean,
First of all, let me say that I've got no part of my Spurs heart thinks that Spurs were going to win that game anyway. They were useless. They were shocking. And Mourinho has already got part four of his five-part plan to get into clubs, ruin them, and get out again. He's already up to part four.
He's flying,
isn't he?
Is he?
He's really accelerated. Manchester United took 2.5 years to get fed up. It's less than seven
he's
months.
He's improved.
Hitting Tottenham. A stride this time.
But not only did Lucas Moura get fouled. So the advantage rule is now the latest victim of VAR.
Oh, they couldn't review that bit.
Moura goes down. But the contact with the ball comes, if there was a handball, and that's yet to be proven to me in a court of law, when the Sheffield United player kicks the ball at him. So he's been fouled from one hand, and
poor but apart from that,
and then the ball's kicked at his vaguely in his general direction. And Michael Oliver, who is the best referee in the Premier League, was the VAR person in the truck in West London when that happened. He could, at a time when statues are very unfashionable, he could have had a statue to himself raised at St George's Park. If all he said was, guys, this is by the letter of the law, the legalistic letter of the law, that I'm going to have to disallow that goal. But if he said instead, I'm sorry, the spirit of football and the spirit of anyone who's ever played the game, from Hackney Marshes to the Maracana, tells you that is a perfectly good goal. Well, incidentally, by the way, what a day for Harry Kane. He had the ball in the net four times and three of them were chalked off.
I can't. The Emperor has got his kit on and he's walking down the road. He is not naked. You can't blame the technology on this. The rule.
They can't blame Michael Oliver. He would get in trouble if he allowed that goal.
Of course he would, because if
I might quote the great Sam Spade,
it's against
a certain
rules.
Amount of trouble I can deal with.
Yeah, but he didn't have the FA above him, who are hawkish and awful, and they will get rid of Michael Oliver.
Michael Oliver is now more powerful than the FA is deflated, let down pancake of a thing that's having to let go its staff because it can't organise its finances, and Michael Oliver could have become the head of the FA overnight if it allowed that
would
goal.
Would have been played, obviously, by Humphrey Bogart in the remake of this as a film there, I don't think that's happening, yeah.
But Mark Smith, I mean, if Wigan's owners are bad and the attacking handball rule is even worse, I still think you're with a chance in this round. Who's your villain of the week?
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, the Wigan owners do seem bad, but this is worse. I've got to go for the drinks break, Danny.
Are you literally going to go for a drinks break?
Yeah, that's
do you
what
not
I mean.
Do understand
what
I... the speed we're trying to rattle through this at?
The drinks break, it's... look, I understand. I understand if we're playing a World Cup somewhere hot in the middle of June, it's 35 degrees. I understand that. You know, we're in an age of health and safety. I don't want the players to get ill or have to go off the pitch because they're like
desiccate.
Fine. I understand that. What I don't need is when it's 13 degrees, it's drizzling,
blowing a massive gale.
You can see people's breath when they're breathing, and they're having to stop and ruin all the momentum that a team might have halfway through a half, twice over the game. We already have stoppages. We have 3 or 4 minute stoppages for VAR. We've got stoppages for time wasting.
Plenty of
we
subs.
We don't need any. We've got 5 subs.
Plenty
we
of subs.
We don't need more time taken off. I've always been an advocate, and you might disagree with this, I've always been an advocate for stopping the game when the ball goes out of play, like they do in American sports.
Stop the clock.
That way we know that time wasting doesn't matter anymore. You get more time at the game, you get more for your money, essentially. Because I think the stats are something like you only get about 70 minutes of football in a game. The rest of it is dead ball.
It's poning about, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We do not need more time wasted on a drinks break. We saw a game yesterday...
I must admit, it really was testing me, Mark Webster, today when first of all, let's just say this is here to stay now because, of course, you can get an advertising break into it. But today I thought, here we go. This is a game between Burnley and Sheffield United. Neither of them renowned for their rapier like football at Turf Moor in front of no fans in the rain. What else can they do to make me want to switch this game off? Yeah. Oh, hang on.
Stop having
a break in the middle of a shower.
But by the way, in that game specifically, in the first half, so let's call it the first quarter, you had Sheffield United had 63% possession.
Thank you. It's a quarter now. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
this
good
is
man.
What we're going to. And then in the second quarter, the second half of the first half, it completely switched on its head, and all of a sudden Burnley had 63% possession. So the game's momentum has been shifted completely to the point that halves don't mean anything
there
anymore.
There would be a thing, like in American sports, if you could hear the coaches, but they blather over it, so we don't even get to enjoy the moment of trying to eavesdrop on...
I want to hear like a Sean Dyche, Doc Rivers style
thing. But you look at them and they just wave their arms. There's no real instructions going on. And the perfect analogy for me happened to me in the week. I was on the London Underground system at Earl's Court Station.
I've heard of it.
Waiting to travel head west on the District Line, and stood there for 20 minutes and I watched 6 trains going to the Wimbledon branch of the District Line.
Oh,
because it's Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
This is
the
tennis is on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The trains are still running.
Thwack,
there's no tennis.
Thwack,
but the trains are still going. And it's like the drinks, right? It's like, get some context, everyone. Yeah. Yes, we get. You introduced the drinks break in Webster. Hot World Cups.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I managed just to get home to see Boris Becker win in 1972 on the telly, you know.
Absolutely ridiculous. And what a brilliant lineup of villains this weekend. The real non-pantomime villains of Wigan's owners. The ludicrous lawmakers of IFAB and their attacking handball. Happy birthday to that as well.
Happy birthday.
And the drinks break, which we're here, sitting here taking the mickey out of it, but I guarantee you it'll continue next season, whenever and however that is played out. Mark Smith, you can go first this time. Of those three horror shows, which one do you want to choose for the villain of the week?
Well, as much as I do hate the drinks break, I'm going to be serious for a minute and say it's got to be Wigan, hasn't it? It's got to be Wigan's owners. It's an absolute disgrace. That club has won huge competitions in the very recent history.
Yeah.
And to see what's happening with them, a club similar size to the club I support, it does hit home. So it's got to be Wigan's owners.
Berry didn't sort of make a calculated piece of fiscal manoeuvring to get themselves where they got to.
Mm.
And it just smells, Dan, doesn't it, that all this is... It's just a little bit of ducking and diving, not the fact that Wigan were on the cusp and gone.
No, and these weasels who have done this, as you say, this snaky turn to get the club into administration. Of course, they're pleading poverty and saying it's the pandemic. Wigan have missed 5 home games. Even with the best will in the world, that's £500,000. Sorry, you're supposed to be these big time Charlies with all this dough and all the rest of it. That's what you told the EFL. £500,000 is a lot of money to want, but not if you're supposed to be as rich as these people. I think we're all in agreement. They are the Wigan's owners, the villains of the week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
There's the full-time whistle. Celebrations on the touchline for Ralph Hasenhüttl.
I had a good feeling the whole week. The guys were fantastic working. And finally, all the bad games he made at home ended up in a nearly perfect one.
Here's Lacazette inside the area, twisting away from the defender and shooting towards the far corner and putting Arsenal into a 2-0 and unassailable lead right at the end of the game.
Best performance of the week. Mark Webster, why don't you start with your best performance of the week?
Well, I have been, and I must say that I put this in context of having kind of settled in now. I've bedded into what I know is how I'm watching my football, and this is it, and such is life, and it won't be like this forever. So I'm relatively content with it all. And it'd be looking to see who's come on strong since the break. There are the usual suspects, but Arsenal in the last two games have surprised me quite a lot because they're just still so patchy. And it started so well with David Luiz. didn't it? I mean, yeah, well, you just hope this was the future. Mm-hmm. Is that David Luiz getting the perfect hat trick, of course, of a card, a penalty, and sent off. I mean,
and a card, a penalty, sent off, and a new contract.
Yeah, well, that's the punishment that he gets. What's it? 3-game ban and a 1-year deal. Is that how it works? I forget how. Who knew how football works? I don't understand. You know, in the corridors of power, they do what they do. But I've got to be honest with you. When they took Norwich apart, and I suppose that's technically what you're meant to do. But Arsenal haven't done technically what they're meant to do necessarily for ages. But away to Wolves on the Saturday was a terrific performance, and it's been good to watch. Sorry, Dan. I know, yeah. I'm throwing the other half of North London in your face, but I've enjoyed it.
If I had any defence, if Spurs were any good at all, I could possibly object to that. But since they are abysmal, and all the rest, you can take Arsenal and slap me around the head with it like a wet fish because I've got no defence at all.
I'm kippering you as we speak. I like that, and it kind of fits into what we've been talking about anyway. I love the fact that their kids are getting a run out and are clearly making an impact. And whether Aubameyang stays or not, they ended up with someone there who's just such a kind. If I go back to the Antonio reference, what the word we used earlier is that kind of talismanic figure.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just look right at the moment, and they're not going to make a massive impact in terms of this season, I'm sure. But you get the funny feeling that perhaps Arsenal or Arteta are the fit.
Maybe it's the start of something.
Yeah,
I do feel like they still need what they've needed for about 15 years, which is some real solid steel in the middle of that midfield. But I think Arteta knows that. And if I was an Arsenal fan, which I am not, I would really trust him to bring in those one or two players that could plug that gap. I don't think they're anywhere near there just yet.
The only crumb of comfort I've got from this, having had the fish whacked around my already space hopper red head, is the certain knowledge that unless Arsenal do something radical with the back end of their team, these occasional green sheets, shoots of recovery, will be accompanied by slapstick performances like we saw at the start of the restart.
Yeah.
While you've hurt me a little bit, Mark, I suspect the ointment of Arsenal's inconsistency will still be available to me for many months to come.
I offer you up 2 games. I can do no more.
Fine. No. It's performance of the week. I get that. It's the best performance of the week. I get that. But I still think there's other performances around the corner from Arsenal.
Take solace
in Smith,
that.
Mark Smith, you've got a more wide-ranging performance of the week.
I have, yeah. I've gone for the concept of football clubs sticking with managers. Now, this is something that is quite alien to a lot of clubs who seem to go through managers every couple of months.
Right.
But I'm thinking specifically about Southampton, who we saw beat Man City today and put in an absolutely fantastic performance, by the way. I don't know if you saw it, but it was just... It felt like attack versus defence. The defenders were just putting their bodies on the line. I think every other time Man City got the ball, and when they got the chance, Che Adams took it, and it was fantastic.
And this is a Man Great City goal. That are playing like they know they've got big games coming. So I don't think they're throwing this one away, will they?
No, not at all. But Southampton, let's not forget, this is a side that in October lost 9-0 at home to Leicester.
Yeah.
Now you've got probably 80% of all chairmen would really be thinking long and hard after a result like that. Home loss 9-0 on Sky Sports, by the way. It was on live for everybody to witness the murder. Horrible.
And
to
jolly
see.
Good fun it was as well.
It was good fun, yeah. But this is the time, isn't it?
You didn't get bored around 6 and 7, no?
No, sir. I'm calling for double figures by then.
But this is when you have a team of players who have been through something, let's face it, in football terms, it's traumatic, isn't it? And they've looked deep into each other's, the whites of their eyes, and they've seen into their souls, and they've come out the other end fighting for each other, fighting for the club. And it could go either way, that, can't it? Because sometimes it goes to pieces.
Yes.
But on this occasion, they've stuck together. They've got some form out of Danny Ings, who looks absolutely fantastic. Yeah. They look a lot more organised at the back. And I feel like, in a way, in a strange way, that 9-0 drubbing has probably made their season. And the game at home to Man City today, I just thought they were tremendous. So that's Hasenhüttl. There's other examples in the league as well. Solskjaer was under so much pressure this time last year.
True.
And now I look at Man United and I think, well, actually, I can absolutely see this team doing something quite big in the next year or two. I'm not saying they're going to win the league next season, but they're certainly going to be closer than they are now. And I think that's a lot to do with Solskjaer and his medium to long-term planning, bringing in the right characters. There's other examples. Sean Dyche at Burnley, another decent result today, good result in the week. He's been there forever, doesn't seem to be leaving anytime soon. And the one I always think about, Jurgen Klopp. It's not that long ago where we had people calling in at TalkSport demanding he be sacked. I remember at Christmas, two Christmases ago, people saying that. And sometimes you need to let a manager see their plan out to fruition, and this is what you get. You get a team, a proper team with a proper bond, who know each other's game. You didn't need to make signings last summer because they were really getting to know each other's game. And, you know, these are the rewards.
That was almost poetic there. But I, Mark, if I may object to this ever so slightly,
no,
and because
no,
my
not.
Own best performance of the week is very short-lived, so I can just... It is this. The fact that you could name four examples who... So you've got 90 clubs, and you're talking about, since you mentioned Klopp, about 5 years. That's an awful lot of football club years. And mostly what you've seen is managers coming in, doing rubbish, getting the sack, and deserving to get the sack. I don't understand this business. With the exception of Pochettino, I was a great one for getting rid of the managers. By and large, fans can tell within about 6 weeks when it's going to work with a new manager, and they can certainly tell when it's time for them to go, which is usually about 6 weeks to 8 weeks before the board start to realise that everything has gone absolutely wrong.
Go on.
No, the example you give of Hasenhüttl, I mean, I don't know why Southampton stuck with him. I mean, he must have said something amazing at the board meeting that week. 9-0, at home, on telly, as you quite rightly point out. And, you know, it could have been 12. We can't even say that, you know, it was a bit like they were a bit lucky, Leicester. They could have had 12 on the day.
Solskjaer, Mark, is the one I would. You know, I get you on Hasenhüttl, and as you say, beating Man City, you know, at the weekend has been tremendous. But Solskjaer is, I think, the perfect example of what you're saying, because he was sacked about six times in everybody's head in the time that he's been there. And I've got to say, in terms of the teams since the comeback, and I mentioned Arsenal because of these last two games,
yes.
if I take the return as a whole, United have been thrilling to watch.
Yeah, United have been the best team.
Surely you have to say, because if it's bad, it's the manager's fault. If it's good, it's the manager's fault, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to give
some
credit.
And I credit where it's due to him, I think.
Yeah, because I do think that, I mean, certainly Southampton's manager probably would have gone in another situation. It could easily be a case that we're looking at Southampton now. They're in the bottom three. They've been really struggling. They've got a manager who doesn't know the league very well. But they didn't, and they gave him a shot. Solskjaer, another one. There are these examples, and I think hopefully it means that managers get more of an opportunity, more than 6 months. Maybe they get a year. And especially at the minute, you know, money's going to be a lot tighter for the next couple of years, I think, as a result of the pandemic. And chairman might be a bit more reluctant to pull the trigger and pay off big contracts just because they've had a bad six games.
I think, Dan, those rolling one-month contracts that you're advocating.
But also, I'm also dead set against this, and it can't win this section. I'm dead set against this because
you're now
condemning me to another 6 months, 9 months,
this
a year,
true.
2 years.
This is why I'm saying
Jose Mourinho. No way.
He needs time, Danny. He needs time.
Oh, no. This is different.
I love this squad. I absolutely love it. I love this lovely purple kit they have for training in. To saying, you know, after the game against Sheffield United, where, to be fair, he was right, these are all rubbish and I must move them all on.
there are anomalies, and if you've got a psychopath in charge, I'd say, yeah, maybe do get rid of them. But
yeah, thank you.
That's the
My performance of the week actually is really an addendum to what you were talking about there, because Southampton's victory over Manchester City, A, absolutely guarantees them safety in the league after that 9-0 win, does justify the decision to keep Ralph Hasenhüttl, and how much do I like saying his name, Ralph Hasenhüttl, in the gig. But what a performance day by Southampton in general, but Alex McCarthy. Such is modern football, where there's a lot of play condensed into the midfield, the goalkeepers rarely get a chance to have an absolutely world-class performance, an absolute theatrical day out. And today, Alex McCarthy, though, as City pushed them back and back and back, and by the way, brought on substitutes like Kevin De Bruyne, and he made save after. I know, of course, his teammates also threw themselves into the firing line, but McCarthy made save after save after save after save. And in the end, in the 2 minutes into the added on time, he made his only mistake of the game, where he came out and palmed the ball down to one of Manchester City's players. And I thought, oh no, the gods of football are about to punish Alex McCarthy despite having a brilliant day and they're going to score. The fact that they didn't told me that the gods are in a particularly good mood just now. And it was an amazing performance by a goalkeeper. As I say, you don't see them very much these days because the game is often... There's less shots, in my opinion, than there used to be. People trying to walk the ball into the net. But City had a lot of shots at goal and he saved everything that could be thrown at them.
And I wonder if it is age. He might, you know, we touched on earlier, didn't we? Arguably the issue for England in the future is the keeper and centre-halves. And I think McCarthy... I mean, McCarthy's, you know, he's probably the age that keepers are meant
to be. Is he?
How old is he? He'd be 30 or something, won't he?
Is he good enough with his feet? Because I think that seems to be something
that's a big deal. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess that's a point.
Well,
but I like him. I like you, Dan. I think he physically looks like keepers used to look a little bit more, which means he's a good shot stopper and he's good under a high ball.
Good on crosses. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Yeah, the business about playing out your feet. Of course, the stats start to show more and more goals start now. With the goalkeepers, you can't belt the ball long, which is annoying because all England's talent is going to be at the top half of the pitch. And I
that's
see
where they are.
Very quickly, Mark Smith. Who? What's your best performance? Managers being allowed to chat to manage Alex McCarthy or Arsenal?
I'll go Alex McCarthy. Actually, I thought it was an unbelievable performance. Yeah, I've switched. I've changed my mind. That's okay.
I'm sticking with the Arsenal because I just know that. I need this to make Danny feel that little. It's the piquancy of enjoying your moment, Dan.
Thanks to Mark Smith, regular guest and always brilliant. Thanks to Mark Smith, I can once again deny Arsenal even this tiny trophy. Alex McCarthy is the best performance of the weekend. Dear. Brilliant. Well done.
And the whole thing is cringy and pathetic, and the Liverpool players will probably feel embarrassed. There's not even any fans there to see it. It's just the whole thing could have been nipped in the bud by Jurgen Klopp. He should have said, no, don't bother.
Watford remain deep in relegation turmoil. It's another defeat for Nigel Pearson and for the Hornets. Full time at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 3, Watford 0.
Eddie Howe still has so much work to do to keep Bournemouth up. Full time after a brilliant 90 minutes plus at Old Trafford. Manchester United 5, Bournemouth 2.
Got one more section to rattle through. Thank you very much for listening to us, of course. We really enjoy the fact that you're downloading the podcast and giving us a listen. That is the worst performance of the week. Mark Webster.
I've gone to the bottom of the Premier League for the purposes of this. And I perhaps it's wrong to feel I'm picking on them, but I've gone Watford. And the reason I've gone for Watford is not only have they lost poorly in the last two games, I'd like to point out the fact that they managed to lose, they've had 6 days between those two games. Something I think you'll find is a rare bird in the current circumstances. And he actually got to have a rest. It's like normal football rest. And he did nothing with it. It was that they were very poor. They outran Chelsea by 5 kilometres more as a team. Mm. Which means they ran around without the ball a lot longer than Chelsea bothered to have with the ball, because they have 70% to 30% possession. I don't normally turn to stats in these matters, but you would have thought, wouldn't you, that Watford and Nigel Pearson came in and there was a little bit of promise when he started, a little bit of spark.
Yeah, yeah.
And not least of which is the fact that Watford weren't a team that you would particularly had in mind when you thought about relegation. I think you always thought, okay, they'll be a bit patchy, but they'll be mid-table,
good players,
exactly,
and
they've always seemed to buy cleverly in terms of the nature of their football club.
Literally Tom Cleverley,
yes, they did literally buy, and they literally brought him on for Troy Deeney actually at the weekend. Well played, sir. And it's just not worked, and Nigel Pearson hasn't worked. And I just think it just in this bizarre fact, this is kind of a little freak moment that Watford actually get an old fashioned break between games and fail to use it dismally.
The glee from the West Ham United fans.
I believe there's a bit of that in there, Dan.
The absolute nonsense of Watford. I mean, I without coming Valerie Lobanovsky on this, look it up. I think that the Watford are victims of the break and the no crowds. I think technically good teams, it's just like a training session for them. And Manchester City, I think, were the obvious example. Despite their defeat today, they could have won that game 6-1 if it wasn't for Alex McCarthy. And a wonder goal by Shea Adams, by the way. I think the teams who rely on effort and physical involvement are missing the crowds more than others. Definitely. And I think Watford are an absolutely classic example of that. And they just can't get themselves up for these games. And Chelsea passed them to death. You mentioned the possession stats, but they didn't even do justice to the amount of outmaneuvering that Chelsea did of Watford's players, which resulted in those five extra miles of running, kilometres of running, whatever it was.
It's chasing, Dan, wasn't it, rather than running. Yeah, you're right.
And I just think that, well, you'll no doubt find me other examples, but I think the teams who play the technical football are the ones who are, they've got the better players anyway, but without the crowd to even things up, particularly in so-called home games, of which there are none now, really. They're all neutral venues, aren't they? I think that Watford are really, really struggling with that, and they are West Ham's best hope, they're Aston Villa's best hope, and they are also, Mark Smith, the best hope for your worst performers of the week.
Yeah, my worst performance is Bournemouth for all the things that Mark Webster just said, but just worse.
But worse. I think, I mean, you know, stick a pin in either. Yeah.
Really, really, really poor. I mean, I've just spent 5 minutes arguing about clubs keeping with their managers and sticking with them. But now, wow. I mean, look at Eddie Howe, and I think...
Wow.
Haunted.
He does seem like a haunted man, doesn't he? And it seems almost bizarre that a year or 2 years ago, we were talking about Eddie Howe, you know, maybe going to Arsenal or maybe being England boss or any of these things. You look at him now and you think, well, I don't really know what's happened here. I don't know how we've got to this stage. He's got some talented players that have been out injured. You know, Harry Wilson's just come back. David Brooks has just come back. Of course you miss those players. But there just seems to be something rotten at the club at the moment, or with the team, I should say.
And they're not. And this is the time when you have to kind of remind yourself it's not plucky little Bournemouth, is it? There's money at that football club.
And they've been there for a long time now.
And they bought eBay for big money, not off of eBay, but from Liverpool. And Solanke, and there was
£19 million.
And the poor fella was actually trending on Twitter over the weekend because he's managed to go like 40 games or something without scoring a goal.
Yeah, it's difficult there. They've not won a game since February the 1st. I know we've had the layoff, but February 1st, I mean, that's still got to be psychologically, you haven't won a game for that many months. Since the restart, I mean, they lost at home to Palace, and Palace haven't been great, have they? They lost at home 2-0 to Palace, lost away at Wolves. And then this week got absolutely mullered by Newcastle at home, who we didn't know could score goals.
Yeah.
And then United. I mean, fair play. United are playing well at the moment. Not a great place to go. But I also wonder, Danny, if you're right about the lack of crowd, because although Bournemouth don't get a huge crowd, it is a very tight ground.
They feed off the energy of the crowd. Absolutely, they do. It's not about sizes of crowds. You know, Newcastle have the energy. Liverpool have the energy for 50,000 plus. Mm. Bournemouth. They're knowing that they have to perform for those people. I really do think that the teams that, I mean, let's be fair, the teams at the bottom of the table, with the exception of Brighton, have all been pretty bad since they came back. And I think part of that is they don't have any home games where the desperation of the relegation battle comes out in energy from the crowd.
Yeah.
Scientifically, American studies, not in this game, but in another game, show that American football show that players performing in front of a crowd do about 20% more adrenaline, and the home players another 10% on top of that.
Right.
I just think that these teams. I could go to the scientific route. Bournemouth are useless, aren't they? That's the problem. They're really useless. And finally, then in worst performance, and I don't know whether I'm being an old man here and a bit old mannish about it, because. We didn't used to do the Guard of Honour for the winners of the Premier League, and now we do. To me, though, and I hear the argument, and boy, did the Manchester City players, I thought they did very well to stand there applauding the Liverpool players onto the pitch. Liverpool have been magnificent. They have been fantastic over two seasons. They are the deserved champions of England, Europe and the world currently, let's not forget. But what is football, if it's not about rivalry, why would Manchester City, the previous champions and the team most likely to challenge them again next season, after the game they can say, well done, mate, well, when this is all over, we'll have a pint somewhere and we'll celebrate, we'll go to Gary Neville's hotel and we'll celebrate, because it's handy for both teams, and we'll celebrate this amazing triumph. But to stand there in two little lines, and of course it was made worse by the fact there was no crowd, so
that's
you can
so
hear
hollow.
The half-hearted applause. I'll do it. This is the Manchester City players. And it was terrible.
It wasn't
for
that
me,
rapturous, Dan.
For me, what it is a sort of souped-up version of the pre-match handshake, which I have no time for at all. Yeah. Why on earth, when you're about to engage in hopefully not quite mortal combat with the Oppo, would you be running down the line shaking hands with them? Now, if there's one thing the pandemic has done well, it's put a stop to that.
God
now,
bless this pandemic.
I am not a fan of the pandemic. Don't get me wrong. I am definitely not
you
a fan of it.
You shocked me, Danny.
You're not.
And, okay. And the sooner it's over, the better. And the sooner it's defeated and its bones smashed into the earth, the better for all of us. But if it's done away with the miserable handshake before the start of the game, so much the better. But the I don't know what you guys thought. Am I just being an old curmudgeon here about the goal of
honour?
No,
I'm on your side with this, Danny.
I was.
Good
it's,
boy.
It's horrible. I mean, all of the, I've adored the knee at the whistle because it's quick and so visual and vivid and to the point. You know, that works for me. But
and it's about something.
It stands for something. But to retain rituals that patently only matter if there's actually people watching it happen in the room, you know, it looks, and as you say, if you could you look a bit more miserable, lads, while you're doing this for us? I mean, they should have been given swords and so they could hold them aloft above their head and, you know, give them something to do. But as you say, just sort of limp-wristed applause, it was... Who got any joy out of that? Nobody.
Even if they'd given them garlands of flowers and those wooden swords that Morris dancers have, at least the Liverpool players who are not from these islands
place
would have learned something about
neck.
Our culture. Some Morris dancing would have been nice.
I'm happy with Morris dancing. I just don't want the
but,
garland.
That would have been wonderful. A maypole.
Yeah.
Basically, the opposition... dance around a maypole for perhaps 10 or 15 minutes before kickoff.
Maybe
but
a sacrifice.
Getting
the best
professional athletes, professional athletes to clap as though they've got RSI. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's
so,
ugly.
So we've got two teams in bad form, and unless if Aston Villa can drag themselves through their awful closing fixture list, two teams that may well be heading into the Championship, Watford and Bournemouth, and the Guard of Honour imposed upon. Manchester City, and I don't even think enjoyed by the Liverpool players by the look of it. Those are our worst performances of the week, and it's my turn to start, so we can all argue about this. I'm actually going to stick with the Guard of Honour. I think it was pathetic.
Yeah.
Mark Webster.
All the way. I mean, because I suspect Watford and Bournemouth will be available over the ensuing weeks.
Yeah.
But the Guard of Honour, it's there now.
It's a one-off, isn't
Let's
it?
Let's enjoy it while we possibly can.
Yeah, clean
Fantastic.
Sweep. I'm going to go for it as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much indeed, which means that the Guard of Honour is indeed our worst performance of the week. Thank you both for making
Cheers,
the last
Dan.
Hour such a treat. And thank you all for listening to Danny Kelly's Record Book podcast. You can get it, of course, through the Game Day Network. And I will leave you with this. I want to thank you all for listening to this edition of the podcast, and I form a personal Guard of Honour to you all.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.